Good afternoon, brethren. Great to see you today. I'd like to talk about the parable of the prodigal son. So that's a message that we've all heard many times before. We've read it, and we all can think of some lessons already, probably right off the top of your head, about what the parable was about, why Jesus gave it. So the big one that comes to mind to me is the Father's forgiveness, right? That we can stray and make bad decisions and sin, and yet we repent and God will accept us back. And I would say that's probably the main point of that parable. And there are other ones, such as the obedient son who stayed home and how he became jealous and resentful and how he shouldn't have, he should have appreciated his situation and not been jealous of his brother. So that's another lesson. But I have one that maybe you haven't thought about before. Before we go to the parable of the prodigal son, I'd like to read Matthew 13:44. You don't have to turn there. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, you might be thinking, what on earth does that have to do with the parable of the prodigal son? Maybe I'm just up here mixing my metaphors, something like that, but they actually do fit together, and you'll see how that is. But let's read that parable of the prodigal son, and just to get the background here, and that's in Luke 15, Luke 15, verse 11. Jesus said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So the father divided to him his livelihood, so that the son got his inheritance in advance before the father had died. Verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How much of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And yet I perish with hunger.'" And so, jumping down to verse 20, he forms this plan to go back to his father. And so he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to the servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and sandals on his feet. And bring out the fatted calf." Verse 24, "For this is my son who is dead and is alive again. He's lost and is found." And they began to be merry. And you know the story. The older son, he gets jealous. And the father is explaining things to him. And so in verse 29, the son says, "These many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed. And yet you never gave me a young goat for me to make merry." Verse 30, "But as soon as this son of yours comes home, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." In verse 31, the father says, "Son, you were always with me, and all that I have is yours." So all the remaining things, the inheritance not already given out, it belongs to that older son. "It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, is lost and is found." So definitely some themes of forgiveness in that. But what does that have to do with the treasure in the field? Well, I happen to have a box of treasure. Now, it's not as big as the box that I imagine this man saw in the field to sell all that he had, but it is a little treasure box. And the treasure box actually has some things in it. I got some gold coins here. And I have some helpers, and I hope my helpers can come forward to pass these out so everybody can get a feel for them. So this is what that man who sold all he had was going to get. And this is what the prodigal son thought that he was getting. Because life just wasn't good enough for him at home, living in the house with his father, with plenty to eat, and servants, and having an inheritance. He wanted more. And so he took all he had, which was his inheritance, and he basically went out and bought that field in the far country and realized that the treasure there was not real gold. It turns out that the treasure that he was working for was a hoax. It was false hope that whole time. And so also in my treasure box, I got some of this, which looks like the first thing. It's not quite as refined, but this is fool's gold. This is what was actually in the treasure box the prodigal son went. And so I hope my two helpers can come back up and pass these out. And so this, in its raw form at least, looks a whole lot like the real thing. And many people really have sold all they had or spent all their time trying to pursue this when they thought they had something of value. And they might not have realized until much later when they went to the office where you sell the gold, the assay office, and they learned that all the work that they did to mine that pyrite was waste because it was not gold. It was fool's gold. So the father in the story is symbolic of God the Father, right? He welcomes us back no matter what we do because he loves us unconditionally. The younger son didn't value that. And so he took his inheritance, he squandered it. Imagine squandering all that. I kind of think of that father like Boaz. You remember Boaz from the story of Ruth. And Boaz was a pillar of the community. The poor would go to Boaz and would glean in his fields and they would have enough to eat. And others in the community would go and they would serve in the fields and work. And so he provided for the whole community with what he had. And I think of that father in the story kind of like Boaz. So imagine taking all of that, cutting it in half and squandering half of that, that maybe it took multiple generations to build up, and then within a year, it's all gone. So in the parable, that son was welcomed back, the son was forgiven, but the son's inheritance is gone. Now the older son was worried, potentially, thinking, okay, well, you know, is that younger son now going to get part of my inheritance? The father assured him and said, no, all I have is yours. So that younger son already got his. The older son will get everything else. All I have was yours, or is yours. And so that's where the physical and the spiritual break down a little bit, because spiritually, God will welcome us back, right? He has that crown of life waiting for us. But this is not only a spiritual lesson, this can be a physical lesson about making decisions. And when we make a big physical mistake, we're not necessarily going to get back to where we were because there will be consequences for whatever mistake that we made. The son reminds me a little bit of Prince Harry, right? He's not the firstborn, but he kind of rejected what he had and went off and did his own thing. So the son's ending, it's good that he was forgiven and he's back part of the family. He's sitting at the table. He's provided for. He'll never go hungry. But it's, in a way, a consolation prize to where he could have been had he not squandered all that. So one lesson is don't chase after fool's gold. Don't chase after fool's gold when you make decisions. And the more secure you are in who you are and what the purpose is for your life, the less likely you are to make colossally bad choices that maybe seem like good choices. The faith chapter says, by faith Moses, when he came of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. So Moses, he was secure, he knew who he was, and he was not sidetracked by that fool's goal, the temporary pleasure. He was focused on what would last. He knew who he was. Second point is to be thankful for what you have. Don't be enticed by shiny objects, no matter how pretty they look, because all that glitters is not gold. There's so much wisdom that we get from our parents, potentially, certainly from this book, from the Bible. And the more we value that, the more we can have a guide to avoid the kind of thing that came, that became of that son. Right? He thought it was a good decision. He probably weighed the facts, and yet somehow, thank you, somehow his way of thinking was so far off that he did something that any one of us would have said, no, that's crazy. What are you doing? And yet he did. Maybe he grew up in a bubble, right? In a prosperous environment. Family always had enough to eat. They had servants. Maybe he didn't realize that his life was an exception, and the vast majority of people on earth back then were desperately poor and were living literally from hand to mouth. Or most people, at the very minimum, were servants of other people. So just like those taking care of the pigs in that far country. And so he might have lived in that bubble, and he just wasn't thinking about survival because he just always took it for granted. Sometimes it's easy to see the prosperity, but not the values that led to the prosperity. So we can have pleasure with regret, or pleasure without regret. And when we do things the right way, with wisdom, doing things God's way, we can have pleasure without regret, and pleasure that is not passing. So how much better would he have been had he been thankful? He went to that far country. It's a Gentile country, right? They were raising pigs, so that was not Judea. He lost his support network because he was so far away. He lost the examples of his family, the support, because he made that choice. Last point is, be thankful for a no. Be thankful for a no. And that physically a no in life, or from our spiritual father, a no. So in this case, the father in the parable said yes. Now, just because that father is a type of God the Father doesn't mean that it was necessarily a good idea even for the father to say yes. We don't know what kind of ending would be, or whether the ending would be much happier, had that father said, you know, son, I think you're just going to have to wait till you're wiser, and then it'll be a better time to receive that inheritance. Maybe after the no, the son would have come to his senses and say, wow, I dodged a bullet with that one. It kind of reminds me, we see so much in the news about kids nowadays who are declaring themselves transgender. And so often, a couple years later, they decide, oh, well, maybe I'm not. But some of them, they make an ask, right? They make an ask of their parents and say, this is how I am. This is the surgery, the path I want to go on. And the parents say yes. And then the kids wake up one day and they say, wait, this isn't really who I am. But now the damage is done. You can't go back from everything. That would be a time when maybe a no would have been so much better. So we should be thankful for a no. Isaiah 55:9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. When we talk to a toddler, toddlers are wonderful, thank you, and toddlers can be intelligent, but they think on a certain level, and no amount of explaining will get them to think on a higher level, because that's the stage of their brain development, right? And they cannot even conceive that somebody can be so far wiser or more seeing than they are, because all they know is what's inside their own head at their level of development. And it's amazing to think that there is a level of thinking that is as far above us as we are above a toddler. And yet it is. And we can tap in to the wisdom that is at that higher level. And we can allow that wisdom to help us and guide us with our decisions. So I still think if you would say one lesson, what's the one lesson from the parable of the prodigal son? I still think that it would be the lesson of forgiveness. And that is the most important lesson because we all need it. No matter how much we pray for wisdom and try to go the right way, we're going to slip up. We're going to sin, or we're going to do things that have consequences, and we always know that forgiveness will be there for us. We all need it. But the lesson of fool's gold is also important, because if we can apply that wisdom, we can avoid so many bad, life-changing decisions. And tapping into the wisdom contained in this book can help us to avoid so much heartache.